trying to think of what, aside from Lowry coming back and being healthy, if I gave Raptor fans one wish right now, right, for the rest of this regular season, what do you figure they would wish for?
I guess they wish for the three-point shooting we've seen the last two games to stick around. You know, maybe it's the defensive effort or the ball movement we saw yesterday, but the three-point shooting is probably the most realistic wish people could have. Outside of Lowry, you know, 12 of 27 on threes yesterday, they've been so cold for, you know, basically a couple weeks now. That certainly makes these things a lot easier to watch, especially on the nights where they, you know, where the offense might not be as pretty. Those threes dropping would be great.
Blake Murphy, our guest, RaptorsRepublic.com, where you can find his work amongst others. Do you feel, I'm not trying to divide the fan base here, but I was thinking this watching the game. Maybe I am. Watching last night, do you think there's a divide between Raptors fans that are so into their team, but they really don't watch the rest of the league? Like, I always think Toronto FC has a ton of fans that love their team, but they're not sitting and watching the Chicago Fire play the Columbus Crew. I bring that up because...
Oh, speak for yourself.
Yeah, I know. I bring that up because, Blake, you see Boston lose at Philly yesterday, and if the Raps went to the Sixers and lost by 8, we'd all be up in arms. Or Atlanta getting worked by Portland, right, at home badly. I think this happens. So Oklahoma City, to me, to bring it back, happens to teams, and especially with a talent like Russell Westbrook. But I think Raptors fans are just, some of them are so insular watching the 82 games that their team plays, they don't see that it's a hard league to be really consistent in.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that, and then a little bit of, you know, when you lose games and they're, you know, you lose because the other team's better that night or whatever, maybe that's a little easier to swallow than those terrible performances like Thursday against OKC. Mm-hmm. But even that one, you're right. Like, had one or two more threes dropped early in the game, you know, the bench doesn't come in as early. That one doesn't look quite as ugly. This is something we talked about, too, earlier in the year when the Raptors first started playing shaky at the end of December, early January, before, you know, anyone knew this was going to be like a 6-7 week slide. Is that, yeah, over the course of 82 games, almost every team hits a slide like that. Cleveland's doing just fine. They're like 29th in defensive efficiency since the All-Star break. So every team kind of hits this. You know, Golden State hasn't really. San Antonio doesn't normally. But everyone goes through bad nights like that and even bad stretches.
All right. Jakob Poeltl had himself a pretty good night last night, and that we seem to have forgotten. We got to be reminded by the coach that this guy was a 9th overall pick. Well, what do you see as the ceiling for this guy?
The ceiling's an interesting question because the reason the Raptors are so high on him, I think, is that the floor is really high. Like, I haven't talked to anyone inside the Raptors or with other teams at Summer League this summer or anything like that who doesn't think he's at least going to be a good backup. So when you get the number 9 pick as a 56-win team, that's a nice piece to circle in. You know, upside-wise, he's got such great hands and he thinks the game at such a high level already that you could definitely see him growing beyond that role. The big thing for him is going to be putting on size without losing any of that speed and kind of ranginess on defense. But I think, I think there's a case to be made that we've talked a lot about if they retain Serge Ibaka and P.J. Tucker and other pieces, you know, maybe a salary has to be outgoing. And the fact that he could slot in there as, either the starting center who loses minutes to Ibaka in crunch time or the backup center who plays a lot of minutes, that opens up some real flexibility for the Raptors.
Blake Murphy, our guest on Brady and Price, Sportsnet starting lineup, 7:38. We know they've had a lot of struggle with the Bulls the last 3 or 4 years. That's putting it mildly, but I'd make 2 points about it. One, the Bulls were a lot better team 2 or 3 years ago, even post, Joakim Noah and Pau Gasol being there. They had a really deep roster that made the conference finals 1 year. But especially this season now, no Dwayne Wade, they trade Taj Gibson. It's sort of Jimmy Butler and guys, right? And I know they see them a couple more times before the end of the year. Mirotić is very good, sure. But do you see the obvious mismatch that's there that may not have been start of the year or the last couple seasons?
Yeah, like Toronto is a better team than Chicago, period. And they're probably better than them even without Kyle Lowry right now. But this thing is weird. Like I went over all the games. This 11-game losing streak against Chicago with someone yesterday, and 9 of those games have had something weird happen where a random player goes off for a quarter or the whole game. So I think it actually, I don't normally, ascribe much to the psychological. I think maybe this is in the Raptors' head a little bit. So you see Chicago coming in, the Raptors coming off 2 good wins, Dwayne Wade not playing. you know, it'd be nice to get this off of their back a little bit. And it's funny, I remember a game late last season when it looked like Chicago might be a potential first-round playoff opponent, and the team was saying the same kind of thing, let's get this Chicago streak off our backs a little bit. They're in a good position to do so talent-wise, but, you know, it'll surprise no one if Denzel Valentine or Paul Zipser or Joffrey Laverne come out and drop 40 in this one on Tuesday.
Blake, I heard Coach Casey talking about the recent improvement in DeMar's defense, saying that, you know, bringing Ibaka and Tucker on has forced him to play a little more like them, a little more gritty. And I wonder if that's also going to affect Lowry when he comes back.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's infectious and contagious. And Lowry has shown, you know, more than DeRozan over the last couple of years that when he's dialed in, he's a quality defender. And most of the more advanced metrics back that up, that Lowry you know, has a big impact on this team on the defensive end as well as the offensive end. So I think it'll be contagious in that regard. And I think it's great that, you know, Tucker has had no issues stepping up and calling out, or not calling out DeRozan, but talking about it publicly. And I'm sure they'd do the same if Lowry comes back and his defense is substandard. You heard Dwayne Casey the other day talk about the defense of Norman Powell and how it hasn't been as good as last year, too. So there's this growing sense of kind of accountability that everyone's going to have to take. You know, Lowry and DeRozan are the stars, so they're going to play no matter what. But we saw in the playoffs last year, too, you know, Dwayne Casey won't hesitate to sit one of his guys down if there's a lineup that's functioning better. And I think this kind of thing, I think, you know, they're giving it lip service, talking about how it's contagious, but I think it can actually be true when, you know, three or four guys are playing well around you and more important than anything, communicating and making your job easier.